Let's talk today about our feelings.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. There's a report out today that says the fallout's starting to really move people. The Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index surveyed 1,000 people a day throughout 2008 and asked them, among other things, for a description of their financial lives. Dr. Jim Harder is chief scientist for Gallup. He says there was a huge downward shift.
So the percentage of people who are struggling to really make ends meet and who are having a tough go of it has grown from 47% in January to 58% in December of 2008, and that represents about 24 million people who've changed from thriving to struggling just in 1 year.
The index also looks at what people expect will happen in coming years. Credit ratings agency Moody's is publishing a list today of what it feels is the bottom rung. It details almost 300 companies Moody's says are most likely to default on their debts. Needless to say, it's not the kind of list a company wants to make. Here's Ashley Milne-Tight.
Traditionally, the three main ratings agencies only rated companies with a low likelihood of defaulting on their debt. So the fact that Moody's is now publishing a list of companies in trouble is odd, says Christopher Whalen of Institutional Risk Analytics.
It's a little bit sensational. When I see something called the bottom rung, it looks like the sort of thing one pitches to hedge funds who are going to go out and try and sell the stock of these poor companies before they expire.
Moody's has been criticized for overrating bonds that turned out to be subprime and contributing to the financial crisis. Whalen says this move could be seen as preempting another mistake. But he says it's more likely Moody's is just following the bearish herd.
You know, I think what they are doing is what everyone else is doing, which is noticing that the markets are weak and many companies are under stress.
Some companies on the list, like Kodak, say they don't deserve to be there. Other names on Moody's bottom rung are GM, clothing company Quiksilver, and entertainment company MGM Mirage. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
Citigroup's already gotten $45 billion in federal rescue money, and the Wall Street Journal reports discussions are underway among U.S. officials about what else can be done to keep Citi afloat. Apparently, that's not stopping the bank's CEO, Vikram Pandit, from trying to make his employees feel a little better. Pandit said in an email the company was profitable in the first 2 months of this year, and he says he's confident about Citi's capital strength. That memo is causing a few ripples in markets this morning. All signs pointing to a higher open on Wall Street. The Dow is at 65.47, down more than 1% yesterday. NASDAQ and S&P shares also lost about 1-2%. European markets are up for the most part, with gains of 1-2% being reported in London, Frankfurt, and Paris. Asian stocks were mixed. Nikkei lost about 0.5%, but the Hang Seng shot up more than 3%. There are signs of weakness today in the world's third largest economy. Consumer prices in China fell last month for the first time in more than 6 years. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Chinese consumer prices in February fell 1.6% compared to last year. This hasn't happened since 2002. Economists see a couple things happening. Global raw material prices are down, which lowers costs for producers. And there's not much demand for Chinese exports right now. That leaves manufacturers with excess inventories. That pushes down prices even more. Chinese officials today described the situation as grim. But they were also quick to say they don't anticipate prolonged deflation. The government says its $585 billion stimulus package will perk up spending and consumer prices. China isn't the only place battling deflation. Ireland, Taiwan, and Thailand are trying to fend it off, too. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
It's a piggy bank that keeps your money. That's New York artist Palmer Murphy's take on the Bernie Madoff financial scandal. He's created a Pons piggy bank. It's a faux bronze bust of the accused swindler. There's a coin slot on top and then a phony plug on the bottom, so you'll never get your money out of it. Murphy plans to sell his Madoff piggy banks on eBay.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying the load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
If you're like me, you need your coffee your morning coffee to wake up. But the Central African country of Rwanda is getting an economic jolt as well. It's trying to conquer one piece of the coffee market by producing specialty beans. Anna Boyko Wyrock reports.
A lot of Rwanda's economic future depends on what happens right here, on a tiny island in the middle of Lake Kivu. Walking around, your feet sink into the hay under acres of coffee trees. Their beans grow at high elevations in volcanic soil, making them fragrant and sweet. Last year, coffee like this made Rwanda $47 million U.S. dollars. It's the country's most lucrative export. But in the scheme of things, Rwanda is just a tiny part of the global market. Alex Kanyankole is the director of the Rwandan Coffee Board. He says growing specialty coffee is the only way they can get ahead.
We only stand an advantage if we produce high-quality coffee that can be admired because of its distinct quality.
In the past, farmers were encouraged to produce a large volume of coffee. Then the price plunged in the late 80s. Peasants were left with a lot of coffee trees, but nothing to eat. This time around, they're trying to avoid that. The government wants their beans to be the Gucci or Chanel of the coffee world. But to do that, they need this guy. The coffee cupper, the official taste tester. He slurps up the coffee and spits it out. Then he rates it on things like acidity and sweetness. If they're deemed worthy, these beans are sold to stores across Europe and the U.S. But some of the profits filter back to Rwanda's local communities. Emmanuel Ruakaga Nzungize is president of the COPAC Coffee Cooperative. He says coffee proceeds help his farmers.
La COPAC a pu construire une première école ici.
Our organization was able to build the first school here in 2005. The next year we built another just a little ways down from the factory.
Sales of luxury goods are down everywhere, but the Rwandan Coffee Board isn't worried. They say people will keep drinking coffee, even high-end brands, during a global recession. In Gisenyi, Rwanda, I'm Anna Boyko Wyrock for Marketplace.
And if you're looking for an online pick-me-up, check out marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.